Good evening. For those that don't know me, my name is Brother Daryl Johnson. I'm pastoring out in Sacramento, California. Very glad to be here. Very thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness to me and to all of us. I want to write on the board what the Lord gave me. It seemed like while I got here, the Lord gave me a message. And I wasn't sure when was the time, but I believe this is the time that the Lord wants me to minister. Is my phone there? Let me see that. Thank you. So I've written on the board choosing, and I want to turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I want to read a little scripture out of that, a passage of scripture there. Hebrews 11 chapter, I want to start reading at the 23rd verse. I will read from 23 to 29. If you have that, you can read it for us, please.
When he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents.
It says here, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid of 3 months of his parents.
Because they saw he was a proper child.
They saw that he was a proper child.
And they were not afraid of the king's commandment.
And they were not afraid of the king's commandment.
By faith, Moses.
By faith, Moses.
When he was come to years.
When he was come to years.
Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's
daughter. Called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Choosing rather to suffer affliction
with the people of God.
Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin
for a season.
Esteeming the reproaches of Christ.
Greater riches.
Than the treasures in Egypt.
For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
By faith.
That's good enough. I want to stop there. I want to read the next verse, please.
By faith he forsook Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of the king.
For he endured seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover.
And the sprinkling of blood.
Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them.
By faith they passed through the Red Sea
as by dry land,
which the Egyptians were saying to do, were drowned.
Now, I want to stop there for a moment because what this gives us is a background of Moses' life. It's just kind of a little synopsis of Moses' life. When he was born, the decree was out that they'd kill all the children. But by faith, his parents made a choice, right? They made a choice that they were not going to kill their son and they were not going to release their son to be destroyed by the Pharaoh. All right, so he was hid. He was hid for quite a long time, right? This was by faith. Now, one of the things that the Lord showed me here that I never had given much consideration to is that faith is a choice. And I know that there is a complication to that, but it's a choice. Because along the way, Moses' parents were making a choice. They were choosing as to what they were going to do with their son. And it was by faith. So it was faith was a choice. Now it got to the point that this is the environment that Moses grew up in. When the basket, we know the story. I won't go into too much detail, but I'll kind of give a synopsis of it. The basket there, and then the Pharaoh's daughter comes here. She sees the basket. Miriam is over there. And they make a decision as to what they're going to do with that. That's a choice as well. All right? They take the baby, they take it to the Pharaoh's house, and the sister says, okay, you want me to go get a Hebrew woman to come and take care of it? Yes, we want you to do that. That was a choice that was made as well. All right, so they get to that point, and what I want us to understand is that all of these choices have consequences to them. Your choices, everything that you choose has a consequence to it. And what ends up happening here, but Moses comes to a point in his own life that what he has to do is make a decision as to what he's going to do. It's not about mom and daddy, what they taught me. Same thing that we have to come to a conclusion in our own experience, right? It's not about what we were taught. It's not about that I have to make a decision for myself. And those decisions, those choices, that choosing that I'm going to do is going to impact the rest of my life. What ended up happening, Moses was the impetus that caused the very army of Egypt that he could have been the commander of. He was the impetus of it being drowned. Why? Because he chose the way of the Lord. What did it say here? Esteeming, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sometimes all of us have come to this place. We're talking about young people today. All of us have come to the place. I came to the place. You came to the place that pleasure was presented to me. And when you're 17 in your teenage years, there's a desire to want to do what the world wants you to do. It's there. That pull is there. But every time you're choosing, you know the reason that I'm up here right now? I gave my heart finally to the Lord at the age of 19, I believe. And I'm 63. So that's 40-something years. How many ever years that is? All right? A long time. But do you realize that I made a decision at that time? But it's not just a decision that I made then, right? I am constantly choosing every day whether or not I'm going to maintain my integrity with the Lord. I'm choosing that. It's a continual thing. It's not just a decision that you make years ago whether or not you're going to live for the Lord. I can tell you that I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to see the Lord's face in peace one of these days. You know why? Because of the choosing, I'm going to make that choice. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And my encouragement to you is to do whatever it takes for you to make it to heaven. You can do that. It's your choice. And that choice has rewards and it has consequences too. If you're going to live for the Lord, there are going to be some things that the enemy's going to come against you on. There are going to be some fights that you're going to have to put up with the devil. And there are going to be some victories. That's what I want you to know. There's going to be victories along the way, because you have fought the devil.
Right.
If there is no, you know, one of the prerequisites of a victory is to have a struggle, right? All right. I got a few things that I want to share with you. I wasn't able to print this up, so I'm going to see if I can pull it up, because I think it's very interesting. I want to give a definition. So this word choosing is a verb and it's also a noun. So we've said things to people like, oh, that was of your choosing. You did that. If we go to heaven, it's because we chose to be there. If we go to hell, it's because we chose to be there. It's not going to be by accident. Neither one of them are going to be by accident. There's going to be a deliberate choice that we have made to decide whether or not we're going to live for the Lord or whether or not we're not going to live for the Lord. My encouragement to you is to live for the Lord. It's much easier. It's easier now, and it's easier, definitely easier on the other side. All right? I want to read a definition here. It says here, when you put ing at the end of a word, it usually turns a verb into an action. It's happening right now. So the way that we see it is you're choosing right now whether or not you believe what I'm saying. You're making the choice. Every one of us, we're making the choice whether or not I'm really one to, you know, what's with this guy? Why is he up here? How long is he going to be there? Whatever, you're making a choice right now. You're choosing. You're in the process of choosing. And whatever your choice is, whatever it is, it is going to have some effect on you, not only effect on you, but it's going to have an effect on all the people that are around you. If you decide as a teenager that you're not going to live for the Lord, it's going to impact your parents. It's going to impact your siblings. It's going to impact your grandparents. It's going to impact the people at school, because you're constantly choosing which way you're going to go. If you decide to live for the Lord, no matter what your age, fathers, mothers, whatever direction that you decide that you're going to go, it is going to impact those that are around you. The people on the job, your wife, your husband, your siblings, your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors. It's going to have some kind of an effect. And I want you to know that. I want you to understand that your choosing is a very powerful thing. The most powerful thing that we as human beings possess. You know what that is? What do you say?
Choice.
A choice. It's free will. It is the thing that can make God stand back and not work in your behalf. It is the thing that can cause God to be your aid. It is the thing that can stop the devil in his tracks. When you tell the devil, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. The devil cannot force you to do it when God is on your side. So you have the most powerful thing. This is why it is a very serious and a very dangerous thing for us not to say, Lord, I want to align my will with your will. Because it's a powerful thing. And so when we stand before the Lord and we've made the choice, Lord, I didn't want to do that. And we've made that choice and we were choosing. We choose all the way down through the years. We choose these things. Then the Lord says, listen, I am only judging you, not by all, not just by everybody else. I'm judging you by the choices that you made. I'm judging you by the choosing, this present tense that we're making a choice. You know, people don't backslide in past tense. They backslide in the present. They don't backslide in the future. They backslide in the present. It's happening right now. You're making choices. And let me tell you what happens. And because I've been there. I've backslidden before. Let me tell you, I was one of those that come to, as a teenager, you come, you get saved, and then you go away. And then your friends and all the people get around you, and you have all of these issues and all the problems. And so it's just easier if you just give up the Lord until next camp meeting. Right? A little easier that way. And so you don't do that. And then you come and you have services like this. And the Lord deals with your heart. And it seems like the Lord is just pressing with you. And you just feel like, you know, I'm around the saints. I want to give my heart to the Lord because I want to be like you guys. I want to fit in. So you come down to an altar of prayer. You pray. Listen, I've been there. I know what it feels like. You've been there and you're making the choice. Lord, this time I am going to go all the way for you. And then it actually happened one time. As a teenager, I decided in my mind, Lord, I'm going to go all the way for you this time. And you know, y'all heard my story. I've told it so many times. And I said to him, I said, Lord, I'm going to give you 6 months. And if you can make this work in 6 months, I'll live for you. That 6 months has turned into 40-something years. That's wonderful, isn't it? Well, you know why? Because I made a choice sometime when I was a teenager? No, it's not just because I made a choice when I was a teenager. It's because that choice is not a stagnant choice. Right. It's not stagnant. It just doesn't. I make this choice now, and it's there, and that's all that I'm going to do. No, it's a choice that I'm making every day. When the temptations come my way, and they do come, no matter how long you've been saved, Brother Randall's been saved 70-something years. You think he, as a 95-year-old, don't have temptations? Yes, he does. All of us do. But let me tell you what happens. We are choosing day by day how we're going to live our life. We're making the choice whether or not I'm going to live for the Lord or whether or not I'm going to go in the world. That's presented to me. And we choose. We're choosing every day what we're going to do. I want to say that's a very, very powerful thing. And when you make a choice as to what you're going to do, God makes a choice contingent upon yours. There's scriptures that talk about, if you forsake me, I'm going to forsake you. They talked this afternoon in the message, and I thought it was a very good Brother Dan brought up how we have algorithms, right? So what's on my phone is based what? It's based on the choices that I've made and what I've searched for in Google, right? So it has an algorithm. And so basically, Google is here saying, all right, Daryl, what choices are you going to make? What do you want to look up this time? And if you're just scrolling on the internet or whatever you do, what is it going to do? It's going to make choices for you based on your choices. All right? And so ultimately, it's going to give you all. And this is why people can get in this loop of scrolling, and all they know is one particular thing, and they get all upset at politics. Because let me tell you, what the political system and what the algorithms are doing is if you looked up this particular thing, then you probably are interested in this, and you probably are interested in that. Do you know the devil does the same thing? Do you realize that there are algorithms that he has that when it comes to, well, y'all were wonderful at church at this Monarch Camp Spring. That's wonderful. Listen, I've got a chess move that I'm going to move right here, and I'm going to make certain that whatever it is that you're doing, I'm going to try to block your choices by my choices. And so what do you remember when I remember when I was a child, I don't know about you all, but when I was a child, there were all kinds of temptations that would come my way. I remember as being a little boy and, you know, you seeing people smoke cigarettes, y'all, you see them smoking cigarettes, and then you go to the little get and go. That's what we had, our little convenience stores, and they throw them on the floor, on the ground before you go into the store. Do you think I was ever tempted to pick one of those things up, still smoking there, and you'd pick it up and try it? Of course I was tempted. I didn't do it because it wasn't really interesting to me, but I was curious about it. I had a friend in high school that smoked, and I had other people that did that kind of thing. But what I'm saying is the enemy presents things to you. These things are called temptations, and you're choosing every day, every moment, what you're going to do with them. Every moment. My wife and I celebrated 42 years of marriage yesterday. There's another couple that celebrated their anniversary as well. And let me tell you what I say. I say that you have a little small town Oklahoma boy that marries a big city California girl. You put them together and the Lord says, work it out. Y'all work it out. We have almost nothing in common. Really. There is one thing we have in common, our love for each other and our love for the Lord. Everything else we had to work out. And let me tell you what happened. It was choosing on a daily basis, I'm going to choose to love you despite you not baking biscuits and gravy in the morning. That's what I grew up on. We had big breakfasts, scrambled eggs, biscuits and gravy and all those kind of things. Country boy, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what they had? City girls had a bowl of oatmeal and a glass of orange juice. That's probably what I needed, but that's not what I wanted. So the Lord says, work those things out. So I had to make a choice. I didn't make a choice on July 21st, 1984, that all I made a choice, and it's just a solid, stagnant choice that I fell in love and I got married and that's it. No, I've been choosing for the last 42 years whether or not I'm going to stay with her. I've been choosing for the last 42 years whether or not she's been choosing whether or not she's going to stay with me, whether or not we're going to love the Lord. This is what I'm talking about when I say choosing. There's a couple other things that I want to do. Now, Moses made some choices, didn't he? I want to read another definition. This is very interesting to me. Choosing means to intentionally select one opinion from a set of alternatives after careful thought or to decide on a course of action. It represents the exercise of free will and personal responsibility. All right? Personal responsibility, empowering individuals to shape their lives and determine their own significance. So my life, how did we get here? I mean, what your life, whatever it is that you're, whatever kind of life you're living, you know what that life consists of? It consists of a series of decisions and choices that you made. Just like Moses' life had was consistent with series of choices that other people made in his life at the beginning of our lives. And when we're with our parents, there are things that there are choices that we didn't make. I probably wouldn't have grown up in a little town called Okmulgee if it was left to me. Yeah. I would have been maybe Tulsa, maybe something a little nicer, a little bigger, not a country town, but I didn't have that choice. Maybe I wouldn't have grown up in the house that I did. Maybe a bigger, nicer house if I had the choice. But those are the things that shaped me. That's the reason that I'm the man that I am today, because of the choices. I said, this is where my parents live. I'm gonna be here until I'm 18. When I'm 18, I'm getting out of here and doing my own thing, right? We make those kinds of choices. We're choosing every day. I want to say to us that these choices have consequences to them, and these choices, there are results to these things, all right? So I want to read another thing because I think this is important to us. All right. In psychology and philosophy, the meaning of choosing goes beyond simple preference. It refers to how individuals navigate their environment with freedom of choice, fundamentally linked to personal responsibility. Now, that was interesting to me to say that it was personal responsibility. I'm responsible for my life. You're responsible for your life. I've got to take responsibility. Have you ever run into somebody who is not who just seems like what they want to do is just push? It's always somebody else's fault. Their life is like this because of what somebody did to them. And there are times that we have situations where people do things to us and it affects us in a negative way. I don't believe that any one of us can say that there are not people that are close to us and people that are distant from us that have not made us genuinely upset. Right? And we're angry, we're hurt, whatever it may be. The point is not that it's their fault. The point that God gives us in free will, the power of our freedom of choice and the power of us choosing, is that I can choose how I respond to that person. I can become bitter at that person for what they did. I read something not too long ago. I saw something on the internet that this man had an issue with another man in high school. And this man embarrassed him and did something in the locker room that embarrassed him. And he drove. It festered for years. 50 years later, he goes, walks up to the house, knocks on the door. Oh, the guy opens the door and says, "Are you such and such?" And he says, "Yes." And he takes a gun and shoots him. Now, that man was making a choice for the last 50 years that he was going to be embittered at somebody that did something to him when he should have just been able to forgive him. And now he's spending the rest of his life in jail. Whatever life he has, he's spending it in jail. But can you imagine the prison that he was in for the last 50 years by not giving up and yielding and I'm going to release that man. So do you realize that forgiveness is a choice? Sometimes it's hard. Yes. It's difficult. But what I look at when I see that, why am I going to hold something against somebody for so long, whatever it is that they did to me, and they're in the Bahamas enjoying themselves, laying on the beach, and I'm upset, these things going over in my mind as to what they did. It doesn't make sense. I'm choosing whether or not to forgive. Lord, help us. All right? I'm going to go a little further here. Let's go to one that's very familiar with us. Genesis, the second chapter. Start reading at the 9th verse. Genesis 2, verse 9.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight.
Yes.
And good for food.
Yes.
The tree of life also in the midst of the
garden.
The
tree of life also in the midst of the garden.
And the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
And a river went out of Eden to water the garden.
Had you ever thought of what it would be like if Adam and Eve had eaten of the river, the tree of life? And the enemy, here's one of those situations where we have a clear understanding that the enemy is going to do everything he can to circumvent the right decision. He's going to try to get you to go off on a tangent. And this is what he did. He did it with the first humans. He did it with our foreparents. He's been successful in many, many situations. Don't think for a moment he can't be successful with you, because he can. I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've lived for the Lord. He can be successful with you. And your job and your responsibility is to constantly make choices. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me to make the right choice to keep doing what's right. What would it have been like if they had ate of the tree of the life rather than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? But do you know we all have that same choice? Do you realize that there is two trees that's presented to you and to me on a daily basis, and I'm choosing which one I'm going to bite off of every day? I can choose to live for the Lord today, and tomorrow I can choose differently. But I want to encourage you, whatever it takes, you maintain your integrity with the Lord. And if you're not saved today, I want you to choose to live for the Lord. I want you to understand that it's the most important thing that you'll ever do. It's the most important thing that anyone can ever do. Lord, have mercy on us. But we're choosing. It's not a stagnant choice, something that we choose once and then all of a sudden it's all over. But you know, bitterness is a choice. We said faith is a choice, right? Do you believe that? But there are some times, really, really, there are some times that it's very difficult for me to trust in the Lord with a particular situation. Remember in the 9th chapter of Mark, where the father had the son, and his son had a spirit, And it would take him and throw him on the ground, and he'd wallow foaming. And the father took him to the saints. Saints couldn't do it. And he took him to the Lord. And what did the Lord say to him? What did he say? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, it was very difficult for this guy to believe, but what did he say? What was the thing that he yelled out to the Lord? He said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So there is, right there is something. Here's what I want to encourage you, because I want us to be in a place where we can have power over the powers of the enemy. So he says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, Lord. So in other words, the Lord said, if you can do it, if you can believe, all things are possible. Why would the Lord tell us to do something that we can't do? That we have no power to do. We have no ability to do. Why would he tell? That would be cruel, wouldn't it? Well, Lord, you know I can't believe. You know it's, you didn't make it available for me to believe. And so therefore, why are you putting this heavy burden on me? And the Lord is saying, I didn't put a heavy burden on. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And then he says, I believe. There's a part of me that doesn't. That's okay. And Lord, would you help that part of me that doesn't believe? I am choosing to believe. I'm choosing to do it. And so what did the Lord do? Right there, when he made that decision, the Lord made another choice. And the Lord's choice was, I'm going to help you believe. And that from that moment, the Lord touched the boy, and the boy was healed. How many times, if you go into Joshua, how many times you go to Joshua and you start reading the first part of Joshua, how many times did the Lord say, fear not? Oh, Brother Darrell, fear is a natural reaction to danger. And it's necessary for us to have fear, because if we didn't have fear, we would be foolish people, right? Yes. But do you realize it is a choice as well? Because what counteracts fear is courage, doesn't it? How many times did Jesus say, we're not going to go there for the sake of time. How many times did Jesus say in Joshua, he said, fear not. Yes. Be of good courage. Yes. Be not dismayed. All of these things that he says, you have a choice in the matter. You are choosing whether or not you're going to be fearful. The young man stands up and says, you know, I'm dealing with fear, and I don't like speaking in front of people, and I'm getting up and I'm testifying. Well, let me tell you, you're making the choice. Yes. And the Lord comes and the Lord blesses you because you're overcoming that fear. Let us stop letting fear get in the way of what God wants to do in our lives. Lord, help us. Yes, I understand fear. I have it myself. I have to overcome it. There are some times that I say to the Lord, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll do it. But Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm scared. It's nothing wrong with that. But it's like this, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, when you tell me to fear not, then you said, be of good courage. Then I have a choice that I am choosing. I am choosing not to be afraid. But Brother Darrell, you're shaking in your boots. Let me tell you, what do they say? If you say the definition of courage is not the absence of fear, it's overcoming it. Doing something in spite of the fear. But what we tend to do, we tend to, oh, this is so frightful to me. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to step back here and I'm not going to do this particular thing because I am so terrified. And what the Lord wants you to do? Lord wants you to just trudge right through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why did he say that? Why am I not going to fear evil? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord is there with you. If he's holding my hand, let me tell you what a child does. If the daddy is there, the daddy might be scared too, but what we don't do, we don't let the child know that we are fearful, do we? We pick him up, and that child is comforted from that moment forward. The Lord has faced everything that you'll ever face. And when he picks us up and carries us through it, we do not have to be afraid. Lord, I know this is a difficult thing that I'm saying here, and I know that there are some complexities to it, but I want you to understand very clearly that fear is a choice. I choose to be fearful. And there are some of you right here today that are fearful. You're scared at your shadow. The things that the enemy presents to your head and to your mind, yes, you get scared or whatever, but you can choose not to be scared. You can say, Lord, I'm choosing to put my hand in your hand. Yes. I'm establishing the fact that you're with me, and as long as you're with me and I can lay my hand on your breast, yes, then I think I'll be all right. I can get through this. Yes. And then some of the things that we have been afraid of all down through the years and down through our lives, some of the things that we have been afraid of, we get back on the other side, and it was just a big shadow of some little bitty thing. And we saw the shadow of it, and it looked like a big thing up against the wall, and it was this little thing that was trying to scare it. It ain't nothing but the devil. He was defeated a long time ago. This is why we can say that I am not afraid, because you're with me, Lord. You're the one that has defeated the enemy of my soul. I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by the fact that the Lord is with me every step of the way. So that's one of the things I want us to be encouraged by. Well, Brother Darrell, how would I do it? I don't know. What did the man do? He said, Lord, have mercy on me. Help thou mine unbelief. You can say, Lord, help my fear. Help me to overcome this thing that I'm grossly afraid of. Oh, maybe, you know, one of the things that we talk about is we get afraid of sicknesses. And I understand that, because I'm at the age that things start hurting that wasn't hurting before. And I'm having issues that I wasn't having when I was in my 30s and 40s and 50s. Now what do I do? Well, if you say, yea, though I walk, and what is getting old but the shadow of death? What is that? We know that the death is coming sooner than it was 20 years ago. And we can see sometimes the shadow of it, but we're still, the Lord, you're my shepherd. And I'm choosing to trust you in the midst of this. I'm choosing that you'll see me through. Because why? Because I can go back. I can reflect back on the things that I've done in times past, and you've taken care of me then. Why would you stop now? And then you have so many promises in the Bible. What do they say? It says, as your day is, so shall your strength be. Lord, give us the strength that we need. All right. Anger. Brother, young man said he had a problem with temper. He ain't the only one that has had a problem with temper, is he? No. But do you know that, have you ever been in a situation that you kind of felt like, you know what, they kind of deserve for somebody to be mad at them? What they did, I want to be mad at them for a little while. They shouldn't have done that. And I want them to understand that I'm angry. I'm upset. Do you know anger is a choice?
Yes.
You know, have you ever said to something, you know what, I'm not going to let that bother me. Have you ever said that? Of course you have. But then I look at people that anger turns into bitterness. You're going to be bitter at somebody for something that they did. You know they shouldn't have done it. Yeah, you have every right to be upset. The scripture says be angry and sin not. It's a natural emotion. But you can take it to the point that you can go beyond that, that you're shunning people, right? Lord, have mercy on us. Do you know love is a choice? I can choose to love somebody. I can choose to love my enemies. That's what the Lord tells us. And if it's not a choice, why, Lord, why did you tell me to love my enemies? And why did you tell me to do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you? Oh, my goodness. One thing that I don't like is people taking advantage of me. I don't like that. When they despitefully use you. Have somebody ever done? Oh, they're just using you. And the Lord tell them, love them anyway. Do you realize you're going to have to do something? You're going to have to ask the Lord to give you the grace to love people that don't love you. And your goal is to win those people that don't love you. But it's your choice. You can be angry at them and turn your head when they're looking at you to make certain that they know that you are upset at what they did. Lord, give us the grace. Listen, y'all, I got to pray that way for myself sometimes, don't I? But it's a choice. So it says here, one of the definitions of ing is ongoing continuity. So our decisions, I'm not reading a lot of scriptures, but I'm referring to them. So y'all just have to bear with me. As the Lord gave this to me, I normally I wrote it down. I wrote down what the Lord gives me. So I thought about Noah and what the Lord did with Noah. Let's turn there for a moment. Let's turn to Genesis, the 6th chapter, and I want to read the 5th, start at the 5th verse. Genesis 6, verse 5.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth.
Okay, so men had been making some choices, and men had been choosing on a consistent basis, right? All right, continue.
And that every imagination of
every
the thoughts
imagination
of his heart
of the thoughts of his heart
was only evil
was
continually.
Only evil continually.
And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth.
That
he had made man on the earth.
That he had made man on the earth.
And it grieved him at his heart.
It grieved him at his heart. Do you know that some of the things that we do can make God regret what he chose for us, according to this scripture? They regretted him that he made man on the earth. He made a choice. We didn't ask him to do it. He made a choice to do that. But our choices, the things that we do, the choosing that we do on a consistent and a daily basis, that choosing affects what God does. And so what did we say here? Continue.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created.
Why did he do that? Why did he say that I'm going to destroy man whom I have created? Why did he do that? Really, why? Because we were evil. The thoughts were only evil continually. And so he said, all right, you know what? I'm going to choose. It's going to be my choice now. I'm going to choose now that I'm just going to destroy everybody. Do you know sometimes I wonder if we're not getting awful close to that again? Because of the things that we see on a day-to-day basis. I have the greatest, more information in my hand then we could go to the library and get back in the day. I think it is the epitome of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't say, we can't teach against it. We can only caution. It becomes such an integral part. This little cell phone has become, or the internet has become such an integral part of our lives that we can't just throw it away and say that, oh, we're going to go back to the Stone Ages. We can't do that. But I think that some of the information that we can get here, and some of you are having problems with it. I don't know who you are, but do you know it's a choice what you look at here? You're making up in your mind what you're looking at here. You're choosing something, and every time you scroll and every time you put in Google search for something that you know you should not be doing, you are choosing. And it is having an effect on you. Well, it's just me. Nobody else is looking over my shoulder and saying, no, it's not just affecting you. Let me tell you what we are. We are a composite of all the choices that everybody makes. That's what America is. We lock our doors because, or what do? You see somebody that looks questionable on the other side, walking past you on the sidewalk, what do? You hold your wallet, you hold your purse a little closer to you, walk a little faster, don't you? Why? Because other people are making choices. They're choosing too. This may happen to be the day that you're the one that they chose to mug. So you're going to get yourself, you're going to cross over on the other side of the street, aren't you? Lord, have mercy on us. I want to encourage us today. Let God be a part of your decision-making process. Let's turn to another scripture. Let's go to Joshua 24th chapter, 15th verse.
24 and 15?
Yes.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord.
Yes.
Choose you this day. Whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side.
So there's a lot of influences that we have that we're making a decision based on the influences that we have. There, you had influences or the gods that they served on the other side of Jordan?
Or the gods of the Amorites.
The gods of the Amorites, the people that are around you. A lot of us are being influenced by that, aren't we? And we can't say that that we're not influenced by it, because we are. All right? And so you have this choice here, or you have that choice over there. What are you going to do? All right, read.
Or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. How do we get here? How do we get to where we are? Why are you here at Monarch? You know, we have choices. Maybe some of you came because you wanted to. Some of you came because you had to. Some of you came because your mother made you or your parents made you come. But most of us as adults came because we wanted to, right? And I'm glad that we're here. But you know what? We're constantly making a choice. It's hot. It's hot here. And since I moved to California, there's a different kind of heat here than it is there where I live. A little drier and it's a little more tolerable. For me, anyway, I've gotten used to it. I used to be used to this. But I'm constantly making the decision as to whether or not I'm going to stay here. For the whole meeting, for the whole time that I'm saying, I'm going to. I want you to understand that. But my point is that we're making these choices. Somebody, I remember somebody came here and they said, oh, it's just way too hot. No, I'm finna. We got to go get us a hotel or something. This is too much. Why didn't y'all tell me it was an open air thing? That's what they said. And why didn't you tell me I'm wearing all these high heel shoes and I'm walking around and there's gravel everywhere? No, I'm going home. They were making a choice, weren't they? And let me tell you, you get past that, you get some really good stuff here. You get some lifelong relationships. You get some good to your soul, that the Lord talks to you in your soul and he helps you in various ways that you need help in, that you didn't even know you needed help in. There are sometimes messages come across, you thought, oh, I didn't even realize I needed that, but the Lord knew you needed it. And so I'm making a choice. Now, here's what the point is that I'm going to make, and I'm going to sit down here. We're making a choice as to whether or not the things that I have said to you today are legitimate. It's your choice. You're making a choice today, literally today, as to whether or not you're going to keep going for the Lord. I can tell you I'm going to see you in heaven if you get there. But I know for a fact that I'm going. Well, Brother Darrell, how can you say that with such confidence? I better say it with confidence. Because if I don't say it with that level of confidence, I'm not going to put forth the effort that it takes to make those choices on a day-by-day basis that I'm going to live for the Lord no matter what. And so I want to see you in heaven, and you can make that consecration and that commitment in your own mind and in your own spirit that I'm going to live for the Lord if it kills me. And if it kills you, it's okay, because you're going to be with him. It's all right. So I want to encourage you that way. I want to encourage you. I want to read again in Hebrews for closing. Hebrews 11 chapter. Let's read that again for what? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a choice in his adult years. What his parents did before was something altogether different. But by faith, he was choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God. That was quite a choice, wasn't it? That he realized that these people are servants. I'm living in the palace. I can have at my fingertips whatever I want. I can command the armies of Egypt. I have all the riches of Egypt at my disposal. Because I am the Pharaoh's daughter, a son, grandson. But he said, I'm not going to be that. I'm going to identify myself with the lowly saints of God, the children of God, the people of God. That's who I'm choosing to do. Let me tell you, there's some of you that are high on the hog who want to be identified with the world. Lord, help us. It's a temptation to all of us. I wish I was a millionaire. I wish I was. I wish I had millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. What I wouldn't do with that money. But I don't. But let me tell you what I do, what I've chosen to do. Every choice that I have made, I have chosen to be with this little group of folks that sat on wooden benches that somebody made. And I believe they're the best folks in the whole world. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Oh, Brother Darrell, what do you mean? We could have some nice benches and they have pads on them and all that. Oh, that would be nice too. But listen, I wouldn't trade the people for that. And you know, there have been some people that say, Brother Darrell, you need to see what I've got out here, what I found out here. Let me tell you, you have not found anything better than what I found right here among the people of God. I mean that. I'm not just saying that to make you embrace me. I've been out there and I've seen what they do. And I've seen that, you know, there's something wonderful and beautiful and simple about the saints of God. Yes. Amen. You know what I've noticed too? I've noticed that people that leave the saints and go to different places, you know what? They have a level of spirituality that's higher than the people that they're worshiping with, generally speaking. I've seen that. You know why? Because we may not have a whole lot going for us as far as the world is concerned, but what about as far as God is concerned? So what he says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How long are you going to enjoy the pleasures of sin? Just for a little while. How long are you going to enjoy heaven throughout all eternity? All right. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So what is this telling? This is saying that he's choosing between reproach and riches. Which one would you choose? You know, for some people, that's a hard choice. For some people, I don't want to be reproached. I don't want people to talk about me. I don't want people to say the way that I look I don't want that. And so here's what you're doing. If you say that, you're saying that I am choosing to go another route and to stay out there. You're still choosing to do that. The longer you stay out, it is a continuous thing that you're doing. You're choosing every day to stay there. You can come back if you want to. And I want to encourage you. We love everybody. Yeah. There's not a soul out there that we say, you stay out there. We don't care about what you're doing. No, yes, we do. Yeah. We're concerned about you. We're concerned about everything. I say to somebody told me this one time. He said, "You know, Darrell, you really could be something as far as a minister is concerned. You could, if you just got you a church and you didn't just have the saints and all of this. I've had that. A few people have said that." And my response has been, this is where the Lord called me. I'm not doing it because this is just what I'm not just doing it because this is where I was raised. Yes, it has something to do with it, and that way where the foundation was. But I'm doing it because just like Moses says, Moses, when he was come to years, this is what he chose to do. When he was come to years. And then what it goes on. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had a respect for the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured to see him who is invisible. There's someone that's bigger than the king. That's greater than the king in there. And through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood. And in all of this, what it's telling us is that he went to Pharaoh. And he spoke with them, didn't he? And he did what God told him to do. And he said, he told Pharaoh, let my people go, didn't he? Yes. He made the choices. Yes. And he constantly chose those things. And he constantly saw what God had done for his people. Do you still see what God is doing for his people? Do you believe that the best is yet to come? I said that the other day. I am not one that says, I look nostalgically down the annals of time and how great it was been. I want to say, somebody else said this as well, and I'm just going to piggyback on them. I believe that God wants to do something greater with us than what we're doing. And sometimes, let me tell you, I'm saying this myself, being vulnerable to you. Sometimes I don't know what to do. And sometimes I'm saying, Lord, you sent me out here where I am. And I know the Lord sent us out there. And I know the Lord is blessing our little group that we have there. I have a little hodgepodge group that maybe doesn't fit into all the places that we think that they should fit in. But they love the Lord. And they want to serve the Lord. And my job is to feed them and to love them and to let them know, yes, by the help and the grace of God, we're going to go to heaven together. and I'm going to be overly protective of him. I'm not going to let somebody come in there, tap me on the shoulder and tell me what to do. Unless God tell you to tell me what to do. You understand what I'm saying? Well, Brother Darren, why are you letting everybody do that kind of stuff? Why are you doing that? Well, because that's what the Lord hadn't touched me on it yet. We're choosing right now. I'm watching. I can look at my little congregation and I can see them growing. I can see some of them that's moving a little further, maybe just baby steps. Some of them are taking giant steps. Some are taking baby steps. We had a young man that came from the neighborhood and he actually came with another person. And I'm not even going to go into the details of their backstories because they have some very interesting backstories. And so he would come to me and he came to me the other day and he said, listen, I didn't want to go down to the altar when you got through preaching, but I want you to pray with me. Can we go back in the room and pray together? I just feel like the Lord wants me to do something. That's what you want to hear. And he's got an interesting backstory, and I'm not going to tell it because I'm not going to expose it. But it would shock some of us. But I see the Lord leading him along and the Lord bringing him. And so I'm going to gently lead him where the Lord is telling me to lead him. I'm making those kinds of choices. What we tend to do sometimes, what we tend to do is we tend to say, you know what, Brother Darrell, this is the majority of our congregation was not raised among the saints. So it's quite different. And to me, what the Lord has told me is, Darrell, this is different. This is it's different than Dallas, than when I was in Dallas. And so the Lord is teaching me, and I feel like this is what the Lord wants. Sometimes I don't know what to do. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know what to do. Lord, what do I do here? But I sought the Lord, and the Lord has given me the choices. You can do this, or you can do this. And the Lord gives me the understanding of how to feed his little flock. You know, not all of us are going to be have some kind of background with the Church of God. Some folks don't even know what the church, they don't even know about Monarch. When I was telling them I was getting ready to go, this particular man, what is Monarch? They don't know. We know. We start mid-sentence, and this is what I feel like the Lord wants us to understand. We know so much that with these people, we start in the middle, we start mid-sentence, and we bring them up, and they're saying, wait a minute. What was behind that? What's the backstory? And so our job is to go all the way to the... So I started having Bible studies. And the Bible studies started to be... We're talking about sin. That was the first thing that we did. What is sin? What is it all about? And the Lord is helping us to be able to work with them. And I believe the Lord wants other people to make those choices. Amen. And they're choosing. Let me say, I know there are some when the Lord told me to leave Dallas and go to California, it was like... People in California thought I was crazy. Literally, we had people stop us on the road. And why are you here? We're here because we're making the choice that this is what the Lord told. Well, we're here for the church. I have conversations like that all the time. I'm choosing to stay in California because I love California and I love the people. And I love what God is doing. And it's a daily choice. It's continuing. I am choosing to be there. Yes. I'm choosing every day that I'm there. I'm choosing to be there. Sometimes, you know, it's an expensive place. Sometimes you thought, well, you know what, Darrell, you come back to Oklahoma and it's so nice here. So all this room, all these places, that's where I grew up. And it's nice and you want to stay there. But that ain't what I'm choosing to do. You know why? Because the Lord is talking to our hearts, and the Lord has people out there. He has people in more than just the little places that we are, and we want to go out and get them. Yes. Amen. Do we know how to do it? No, not all the time we don't know how to do it. Sometimes we stumble and fumble, and we've stumbled and fumbled there in Sacramento, but we're still doing it by the grace and the help of God. And then the Lord raises up a little congregation. I think about it when I first went there, Brother Randall. I'm there because Brother Randall was there. Had three people. went to the first service, and I'm choosing to say, as a matter of fact, some of the saints say, why are you're going from a big congregation to a little congregation that meets in a house? What sense does that make? You're choosing. What is the Lord telling you to do? The Lord's telling some folks to do something, and I think you're scared. So let me say this. So I'm almost done. I really am done. But I feel like the Lord just keeps giving me things to share with you. of the choices that we make. I remember when I was I spoke with a young minister today, and they were asking. I was sharing with them when I went to Dallas, and the Lord said, "Daryl, I want you to go full time in the ministry." I said, "Lord, y'all heard this story. They give me $300 a month. How am I going to support my family on $300 a month?" And he said, "You're not trusting them, you're trusting me." Then when I went out to California, you know, I ain't got no job. Y'all know that, right? You know, I don't have a job. How are you going to make it? I don't know, but Lord, you told me to go. And when things get tough, you know what I tell the Lord? I say, "Lord, you told me to do it. I'm choosing to be in your will, in the center of your will. It's a choice. And Lord, now you hold yourself. I'm holding you. You're obligating yourself, and I'm holding you responsible for your child. Just like I was responsible for my children when they were young and when they couldn't support themselves, the Lord I supported them. Now, when I can't do something, the Lord supports me. The Lord takes care of us. We're not having struggles. Sometimes the Lord sends money from places I had no idea it would come from. But we're choosing to be in the Lord's will, and the Lord is choosing to work with us. And the Lord is choosing to smell in our assembly, because we're choosing to live for Him. We're choosing to give our will completely over to Him, to everything that we have. It belongs to the Lord. There is nothing that I have that I have not consecrated, that I know of, that I have not consecrated to the Lord. And as a result of that, the Lord is choosing to work with us. And He's choosing to love us. Why? Because we love Him. He's making choices based. There's a little algorithm that's there. There's a little algorithm that now is the more that I give myself to the Lord, the more He gives Himself to me. The more I love Him, it seems like the more He loves me. And that when I Google and I ask the Lord for something, He comes back in and He says, "All right, I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you something else." We have asked the Lord for numerous things, and the Lord has given it to us. Isn't that wonderful? I want to encourage us today, as you're choosing, a choice is not a stagnant thing. It's not stagnant. It is something that continues, that we continually, it's something that is continual. That's why we have the ING on the end of it. Lord bless us. Pray for me.